These blessings and so many more are ours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from John chapter 14, Jesus' words on Maundy Thursday to his disciples, to us today, is our gospel lesson. My dear fellow recipients of the gift of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, of the three major high festivals of the church year, is the festival that gets the least amount of attention and perhaps from some the least amount of respect. And maybe one of the reasons is because the world has not usurped Pentecost as a worldwide celebrated holiday. No Pentecost sales, no Pentecost decorations, no Pentecost family dinners. And yet, the message of Christmas and the joy of Easter that we hold so dear is only ours because of that first Pentecost and the continued gift of the Holy Spirit. Our theme this morning, actually our prayer this morning, is "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And based on the words of Jesus in our text, we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as you have promised." We mention that the words of our text spoken by Jesus in what we know as that upper room discourse on Maundy Thursday. And in chapters 13 and 14, before we get to the words of our text, Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He's told them that one of them would betray him. He has told Peter that he would deny him. He has promised that he's going ahead to prepare a place for them. And now he tells them something else. He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." The disciples were smart enough to realize that if Jesus said, "All this I have spoken while still with you," that led to a question. "While still with you" meant he was going to leave them, and their question was simple. Jesus is going to leave us? Well, what then? And of course, Jesus knew that was their question, and so he provides them an answer. But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. This is one of four times that Jesus, in the upper room, promises to send them his Holy Spirit. And it's a promise that they so desperately needed, because these disciples, on Maundy Thursday, their world was falling apart around them. And so he promises them his Holy Spirit, and it was a promise so powerfully fulfilled just 53 days later. Powerfully fulfilled enough that it changed these men who fled from Jesus, denied Jesus, were terrified about what was happening to Jesus, into men who instead, on that Pentecost Sunday, not only didn't cower in fear when they saw those tongues of fire and heard that rushing of the wind, but instead went public with their confession. A promise so powerfully fulfilled on Pentecost that Peter, the man who had denied Jesus three times, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to preach a sermon that brought 3,000 souls into God's church. To borrow a phrase that is perhaps far too often used today, this was a life-changing experience for the disciples. So life-changing that they could turn from cowards into God's apostles. So life-changing that they went from men who were terrified of losing their life to men whose faith led them to not only live for that message, but be willing to die for that message. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Holy Spirit would do the same thing yet today, if God at least occasionally would send his Holy Spirit into the walls of Mount Olive, and we would hear that rushing of the wind, or sitting in the pew, we would look up here and see tongues of fire on those who are leading us in worship. Wouldn't it be amazing if we would hear Pastor Schreiner or Pastor Zink or Pastor Rosh share the gospel in languages that they never studied? But God has decided not to do that. And so then the question for us might be, well then, that was great 2,000 years ago, but what is the relevance of Pentecost for us today? Well, the relevance is this, that as we pray, come Holy Spirit, come, and recognize that he did come as promised, we also pray that he would come and teach us and continue to fulfill those promises. In our text, Jesus says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And today, 2,000 years later, what does the Holy Spirit tell us? He says, I still do come, and I am still teaching you. Where do you see me? Not in a tongue of fire or hear me in the rushing of a wind, but you hear me, you always hear me, you hear me in word and sacrament. And so the Holy Spirit would say to us today, just listen. Did you listen to that Old Testament lesson and recognize that at your conception, you were nothing but a valley of dry bones until the Holy Spirit breathed into you? In the words of our gospel lesson, in our text, the Holy Spirit says, listen. Do you hear the words of your Savior, who in a sense is on his deathbed, yet had five chapters to still share with his disciples? Who but the Holy Spirit this morning can take you by the hand and pull you into that upper room so that you can cling to every word of your Savior and what treasures he offers us in that upper room? I am the vine, you are the branches. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. In spite of the fact so often I feel anything but clean. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit continues to teach us. And of course, not just through the words of a pastor from a pulpit or a lectern, but it's the Holy Spirit who stands there with the pastor and parents and a baby at the font. It's the Holy Spirit, not the pastor, who breathes faith through water and the word into that child. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through the words of children, children's songs from the balcony or the front of this church. The Holy Spirit who every December shares with us through the lips of children the story of Luke 2. And today a Savior will be born to you, is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago who was there on the fields of Bethlehem, because while it was an angel who delivered that message, it's only the Holy Spirit that could lead those disciples to leave their sheep and head into Bethlehem. It's the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, who speaks to you as you page through your meditation booklet or through a very tiny speaker on your phone, you listen to a Time of Grace message. And it's the Holy Spirit, and always the Holy Spirit, who speaks to you and only you when you are by yourself and you are clinging to your favorite promises found here in God's Word. The Holy Spirit does still come to us. The Holy Spirit does still teach us. But I wonder if one of his more common activities for most of us, and I realize it's a form of teaching, isn't this. Come, Holy Spirit, come remind me. Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Literally, remind means cause me to remember. How often the Holy Spirit does that for you and me? Cause us to remember. So often, doesn't he start with causing me to remember my sins of the past week, the past decades? Certainly there are times when he has to teach me that something that I thought was okay is actually a sin, but more often I knew it was a sin, and he reminds me of how grievous my sins are. But then he also reminds me that a broken and contrite heart my Heavenly Father will not despise. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds you with these sweet words of absolution that you hear Sunday after Sunday, that after you confess your sins and that you are by nature sinful and unclean, it's the Holy Spirit who speaks to you and says, through Pastor Schreiner, I, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, forgive you all of your sins. That's nothing you didn't know, but it's a reminder that you crave. And then when Satan comes to you and says, but see, that is the problem with repetitive Lutheran worship. Sunday after Sunday, it's the same thing. Sunday after Sunday, the same confession, the same absolution, the same creeds, the same Lord have mercy. And nothing ever changes. No wonder church is boring. It's then the Holy Spirit comes and reminds you that you can say to Satan, Satan, I'd have it no other way. What would I rather do than confess my sins and then hear that my sins are forgiven? Rather hear that my sins aren't forgiven? Is there ever a Sunday that I don't want to pray, Lord, have mercy on me? Ever a Sunday when I don't want to confess with the church of old for 17 to 19 centuries that I believe in God the Father who created heaven and earth in me? Never want to confess that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life? Holy Spirit, keep reminding me. And that's what he does in every one of our worship services. And then also appreciate this reminder that the Holy Spirit offers. That so often it's not just through spoken word, but for so many of us and so frequently for us, it's that message that he has married to music. And so we sit in church and we sing hymns filled with a gospel message that so perfectly fit the theme of the day or the message of the day. And you ever like me that later on Sunday afternoon or later in the week you find yourself humming one of those verses and the Holy Spirit is still speaking to you through God's word? You think of how often the Holy Spirit chooses one of those messages in the MP3 player of your mind. And you find such comfort in hymns like How Firm a Foundation, or If God Himself Before Me, or a hymn you learned as a child, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb, or Children of the Heavenly Father. Hymns that, for many of us, we tie to events in our lives or the lives of our children. And the Holy Spirit reminds me that the comfort that was mine as a five-year-old child in my mom's lap is still my comfort today. Who but the Holy Spirit, just 7 weeks ago, could get us to sing, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And for many of us, through quiet tears, to sing verse 5. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. And to believe with all our heart in the faith that Holy Spirit has given us, that not only will he wipe away our tears before we leave that Easter service, but there will be a day when we stand before our Savior's throne with every child of God, including those we miss so desperately, and he will dry our last tear. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Finally, come. Come and comfort me. In our last verse, Jesus tells the disciples and tells us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. How the disciples needed those words, and appreciate this, that when Jesus said, do not be afraid, it wasn't a button that he pushed and all their fear was gone. They still fled from him in Gethsemane. They still struggled to understand what happened on Good Friday. Even after he rose, they still locked themselves in a room. And then slowly they began to appreciate that their risen Savior offered them a peace that they could never have hoped to experience. But still, just 10 days before that first festival of Pentecost, as they gathered on that Mount of Ascension, we're told they still had doubts. And they were still wondering, so now Jesus, is now when you will restore this lost kingdom of Israel? You'll give us peace from Rome? But then, after that first Pentecost, after that gift of the Holy Spirit, no more talk about peace with Rome. Only a message of peace that comes only from God. And not a peace that sometimes I have in my heart and other times I struggle to find. But this peace, this is the peace that's in God's heart. A peace that never changes. It's that peace of God that smothers the sins of his people. It's that peace of God that Satan can never touch and Satan can never take away from you. It's that peace which, after Pastor Schreiner speaks the words of institution, will turn and announce to you and say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And then what will happen? Then you will come up and kneel at your Savior's table, and you will receive that peace that he offers you, and then you will depart in peace. This is the peace that surpasses all of our human understanding. But because of that first Pentecost and that continued gift of the Holy Spirit, it's the peace that God has given to you and me. And so pray with me, come, Holy Spirit, come. And because he has come, Jesus is yours. Amen.